Next news time. It's 5 o'clock.
Welcome to the Edward Woodson Show, shining a spotlight on the media minions and redistributing the truth. And now, here's your fair share of the truth. Brought to you by your host, Edward Woodson.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Welcome. I am going to give you your fair share of the truth because you're entitled to it. So, this 4th of July weekend is upon us. And there are warnings. Federal authorities and national security experts say the United States is more susceptible now because of tactics chosen for recent terrorist strikes by Islamic State. So federal officials are warning that there may be an attack this weekend. They say that because of the fact that, of course, it's July 4th, the fact that we're smack in the middle of Ramadan, and there is a call to arms right now. But here's the question. If all this is going on, why is it that the United States is engaging in a phony war against the Islamic State? Because remember, the administration has said that they are going to degrade ISIS. But they have done nothing of the sort. Today there is a phony war being waged in the Middle East. And you know, the administration talks a lot about the 60 nation coalition. But there's no war going on against Islamic State. We have largely just mostly harassed them. But we haven't had any definitive strikes against them. There is a report out in the Telegraph that the U.S., in fact, has blocked attempts by Arab allies to fly heavy weapons to the Kurds. Now, why would the United States do that? Why would the United States do that? Our own allies in the Middle East now are accusing Mr. Obama and David Cameron of failing to provide weapons to the Kurds. I mean, if there's anybody we should be helping, it's the Kurds. They have proven the ability to fight. You know, the administration talks about how they don't want boots on the ground. Well, that's fine. If that's what your strategy is, but then at least help the Kurds. You know, we talk about we're going to train the Iraqi forces. We've tried to train the Iraqi forces for 10 years, and that has proven to be a failure. So, this report in the Telegraph states that the United States has blocked attempts by its Middle East allies to fly heavy weapons directly to the Kurds. Some of America's closest allies say that Mr. Obama and other Western leaders, including David Cameron, are failing to show strategic leadership over the world's greatest security crisis for decades. They are now saying they're willing to go it alone in supplying heavy weapons to the Kurds, even if it means defying the Iraqi authorities and their American backers who demand all weapons be channeled through Baghdad. Apparently, the Iraqis themselves don't want the Kurds to get this weaponry. And again, it just makes you wonder why. What exactly are we doing to fight Islamic State. Because clearly, we haven't done anything. The article also goes on to quote that if the Americans in the West are not prepared to do anything serious about defeating ISIS, then we will have to find ways of dealing with the threat, said a senior Arab government official. With ISIS making ground all the time, we simply cannot afford to wait for Washington to wake up to the enormity of the threat we face. You would think that we would want to arm the Kurds at the very least. You know, the administration has talked a lot about degrading and defeating ISIS. But that's not happening. ISIS has continued to make advances. And I fear that they are going to continue to do so, given the fact that the United States really doesn't want to do anything about it. So, again, you have to wonder why that is. Why is the administration holding back on trying to defeat ISIS? And this leads us back to the United States. You know, you've had something like 50 people that have been arrested lately in the last couple months. Homegrown, quote-unquote, lone wolves that have been arrested. But yet, we are talking about the Confederate flag. We're talking about gay marriage. I think the bigger threat for the United States is ISIS. And a lot of people say that, well, that's not our problem. It's not going to happen here. It couldn't happen here. So then why are you seeing these people in this uptick? You know, and I pray to God that nothing happens over the weekend. But U.S. officials are warning that something may indeed happen over the weekend. So we are going to be mindful of that. So Hillary Clinton, her email story continues to unravel. The Clinton scandals have a way of bumping and rolling along to a point where nobody can really remember why there was any outrage to begin with. So in the interest of clarity, let's take the latest news in the Hillary email escapade and distill it into its basic pieces. Now, nothing Mrs. Clinton has done so far on the subject is correct. The Democrat presidential lock, so to speak, on March 10th held a press conference, pitches her first and last word on the revelation that she'd used a private email server while Secretary of State. And I might add, she was not very convincing at that press conference. She told reporters that she turned over to the State Department all my emails that could possibly be work-related. And she insisted that she did not email any classified material to anyone on my email. She said, there is no classified material. Remember that? Remember that? Not true and not true. The State Department has now admitted that it is aware of at least 15 work-related emails that Mrs. Clinton fully or partially withheld. Now, the only reason we know this is because congressional Republicans, as part of their Benghazi probe, required longtime Clinton confidant Sidney Blumenthal to turn over his correspondence with her. It revealed work-related emails that had not been disclosed. Now, I said this at the time, that all you have to do is go back, find out who she sent emails to, and subpoena those emails. Okay? It's not that hard to do. So, remember, she said that none of the emails had any classified material. And that's absolutely not true. Now, Mr. Blumenthal, Sidney Blumenthal, was a private citizen and a friend of the Clintons, and he was advising the Clintons about seeking business contracts with the Libyan governments to enrich the Clinton Foundation. So, we also know, first of all, the question is, why is Hillary emailing a private citizen about classified information by the State Department? The State Department has now upgraded at least 25 of Mrs. Clinton's emails to classified status. Okay? Now remember what she said. She said that there is no classified material. She did not email any classified material to anyone. State Department, though, says that at least 25 emails are now classified. Huh. So, what we have now is that Mrs. Clinton, remember she said that she supplied the emails, that she, in fact, released 55,000 pages of emails? Now, she's the one that provided them. She's the one that edited them. So, can that be trusted as legitimate? I think not. The part of the bombshell from the State Department's admission that some of these emails were indeed classified is that in at least six instances, the Clinton team altered the emails before handing them over. Sentences or entire paragraphs, which, by the way, were work-related, were removed. State was able to confirm this because it also double-checked against Mr. Blumenthal's documents. Huh. So, another thing they're saying is that now, Team Clinton says that it didn't recognize much of the material Mr. Blumenthal supplied and insists that all the emails from him were turned over. So, either Mr. Blumenthal fabricated the emails or Mrs. Clinton was deleting emails as she went along. So, the question is, does anybody really care? See, that's the problem here, is that she's lied about her emails. She's lied continuously about whether or not they were classified. She's redacted whole sections of the emails. But yet nobody even cares. The White House also said that they had no idea about this stuff. But then we know that David Axelrod basically lied because he was emailing. But again, does anybody really care? Because the people, and I've said this before, the people that are going to vote for Hillary, they don't care. And the people that aren't going to vote for Hillary are the ones that do care. The question is all those people that are quote-unquote independents or undecided voters, you know, everybody says that that's the way to win the election. And I don't know if there's anybody that's undecided anymore. I think we've become so polarized that people have already made their decisions. So, the Clintons have been doing this for 25 years. They've been obfuscating, lying. And it gets to the point where you kind of forget. And you don't remember. Because it's so much. It's kind of like what the Obama administration does. There's so much scandal that you just don't even remember. All right, we're going to be right back.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
Bloomberg reports cash under the mattress is now considered safer than inside a bank. That's right. On November 20th, G20 leaders, including President Obama, voted to enact new banking laws replacing taxpayer bailouts with what's called bank bail-ins. Sounds good, right? Wrong. The fine print of this new bail-in legal doctrine states that your money deposited in bank savings, CDs, or money market funds can be confiscated or converted into bank shares of uncertain value. Oh yeah, I've been warning you about this risk all year on my show. The authors of Don't Bank on It just released a new white paper entitled After the G20. It's free by calling 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271. Discover why your dollars in banks just became dollars at risk. Call 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 or at edwardwoodson.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD, host of Healthline. Join me live to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. This month, our great product on special is Quantum Hair Skin Nails. It delivers a unique solubilized keratin, an important structural protein shown in studies to promote healthy hair, skin, and nails. It effectively supports skin moisture, elasticity, and compactness, as well as overall hair and nail health and strength. Experience the difference between this powerhouse and using ordinary collagen. Just one capsule per day is all it takes. Buy two bottles and get the third one free. Call 800-370-3447. That's 800-370-3447.
Healthline with Dr. Bob Marshall every Saturday at 9 a.m. here on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
He's still so mad. Now back to your host, Edward Woodson.
Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. Yes.
Welcome back. I talked about this yesterday. When Donald Trump made his comments about Mexican illegal aliens, because that's what he was talking about. He was talking about people that come here illegally, that have broken the law to come here. The media's response has been to denigrate him, boycott him, call him a racist. But one thing they haven't done is produce any facts showing he was wrong. Now, here's what he said. When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're not sending you. They're not sending you. They're sending people that have lots of problems, and they're bringing those problems to us. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people. Now, it wasn't very artfully done, what he said, but his point was that a lot of the people that are coming here illegally, are not the best. Because, number one, they are coming here illegally. So, Ann Coulter wrote an excellent piece on her website. And what she says is the government won't tell us how many immigrants are committing crimes in America. They won't, because that doesn't fit the narrative of the government. So, and I've said this for the longest time, you know, the media covers all the time for this administration – for the government in general. And you'd wonder, and you wonder why that is, that the media has become like this. Long ago, and this day has passed, when the media would shine the light on wrongdoing. It used to be, you'd have a guy like Mike Wallace would walk in. There would be a hard-hitting piece on 60 Minutes, and they would expose fraud, corruption. Now you just see puff pieces. But the fact is that a lot of the illegals coming here are actually committing crimes. I mean, think about it. They are coming here. The first act is to commit a crime by breaking the law. So think about that. So you think that the media would, you know, maybe want to know that. They would want to know if, in fact, you know, a real media would have taken Donald Trump's comments and maybe done some research. I would like to know how many prisoners, for instance, in prisons are legal immigrants. But we don't know that. There was an investigative piece in the Atlantic last year that kind of talked about it. And you can kind of get a glimpse of it from, for instance, some of the most wanted. Some of the most wanted prisoners in California right now are, guess what? Illegal aliens. Okay? So the question is, why isn't the reporting, why isn't the government reporting that? Because what the, a lot of what Donald Trump said was true. But the media isn't reporting that. What the media does like to report, though, is these hoax stories about non-existent gang rapes by white men. Remember the story of the Duke lacrosse team, which turned out not to be true. And the University of Virginia fraternity that Rolling Stone reported about, not true. And the military contractors in Iraq turned out not to be true. But it turns out that there are many instances of illegals that are rapists, that are perpetrating crimes at a higher rate. I don't know if people remember this, because, of course, it wasn't in the news much. In New York, the case of Baby Hope, a 4-year-old girl who was raped and murdered and turned up in an igloo cooler off the Henry Hudson Highway in 1991. After a 20-year investigation, the police finally captured her rapist and murderer in 2013. It was her cousin, Conrado Juarez, an illegal alien from Mexico, who disposed of the girl's body with the help of his illegal alien sister. Of course, that didn't make much news, did it? Now, New York City is the nation's media capital, but only the New York Post reported the child rapist was a Mexican illegal alien. In 2001, the media was fixated on the case of Chandra Levy. Remember that? The congressional intern who had gone missing. All eyes were on her boss and her romantic partner, Democrat Congressman Gary Condit. Then it turned out she was assaulted and murdered while jogging in Rock Creek Park by an illegal alien from El Salvador. There was a lot of press when three Cleveland women went missing a decade ago. By the time they escaped in 2013 from the sick sexual pervert who'd been holding them captive, it was too late for the media to ignore the story. The girls hadn't been kidnapped by the Duke lacrosse team. No, they were kidnapped by a guy by the name of Ariel Castro. The fact is that there are many people that come to the United States illegally. And I don't blame them for doing it, because it's pretty easy to do and nothing happens. Because once you get here, you get a lot of benefits. And the vast majority of the people coming here are good people. They come here because they want opportunity. They want jobs. They come here for economic reasons. But that's not what Donald Trump was saying. He was talking about the bad people that come here. And he wasn't saying that they were all Mexicans coming here were rapists. But see, the media has glommed onto that and called him racist. And this is another thing I was kind of thinking about yesterday. Why is he racist? Because are Mexicans a race of people? That's what I didn't get from this whole thing. He's being called a racist because he basically spoke the truth. And I'm watching the news last night, and it was CBS News, and they're freaking out because Donald Trump is in second place in both New Hampshire and Iowa, and they are freaking out because they're saying, well, how could this be? How could this be that he's in second place? We've tried our hardest to knock him down, to paint him as a racist. How can this guy be in second place? And I'll tell you why he's in second place. Because he is speaking the truth. And in times of tyranny, speaking the truth is considered revolutionary. And he is speaking to a lot of people that think that they're being lied to by the media. And so people like Donald Trump. And I'm going to tell you, he's going to get a lot of traction. He's going to get a lot of traction. And I think actually he's going to get more positive traction because the media is against him. That's why. The media being against him helps him, doesn't hurt him. All right, if you've got a business and you want to get results, advertise on the Edward Woodson Show. Radio is by far the best way to reach your audience, your target audience. So advertise on the Edward Woodson Show. Give me a call at 305-528-3552. That's 305-528-3552. And advertise on the Edward Woodson Show. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
Mm-hmm. Every day is a holiday in Healthy Habit Health Food Store, 6029 North 7th Street. Tune in to Healthy Health Call discussing the latest breakthroughs of integrative medicine. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. and call with your questions, 602-266-1000. Discover world-class physicians, medical researchers, Hollywood celebrities, professional athletes, and testimonials from our patients and consumers of natural products. Call 602-266-1000.
This is the Blaze Radio News. I'm Robin Walensky. Lots and lots of extra security across the country as law enforcement warns of possible terrorist attacks during the 4th of July. The Blaze Radio's Greg Moore reports.
As the 4th of July weekend is upon us, the U.S. Park Police reminding visitors to Washington, D.C. to speak up about possible security threats.
We'll have signs up. If you see something, say something to remind visitors that if anything looks suspicious, anything regardless of how small it looks, or if it just feels out of the ordinary, just let an officer know.
U.S. Park Police spokesperson Sergeant Leilani Woods saying the Park Police is ready to handle crowds heading to Washington for the numerous Independence Day events. Despite recent warnings of possible terrorist threats, Sergeant Woods says there aren't any special security measures they're taking. She also advises people to visit the National Park Service website for updates and a list of items that are banned from 4th of July events.
Turning now to politics, in 2016 this Friday morning, another Democrat getting into the race. Here's the Blaze Radio's Tom Peace.
A military man and harsh critic of the Iraq War is entering the race for the Democratic nomination for president. Former Virginia Senator Jim Webb making the announcement in a tweet and a statement. Webb's a decorated Vietnam War veteran who serves one term in the Senate. He's also a former Republican.
Turns out it's a false alarm, but some scary moments at the Washington, D.C. Navy Yard. Here's the Blaze Radio's Kay Long.
An employee of the Washington Naval Yard where a man kills 12 nearly 2 years ago, calling in a report of shots fired, causing a massive police response. But nothing found, as we hear from D.C. Police Chief Kathy Lanier.
There was no criminal act here. There was no shots fired, that no one was hurt. And we don't believe that it was a malicious hoax or incident like that.
The Naval Yard call, one of three reports in recent days, turning up nothing as law enforcement warns Americans about the heightened terrorism threat level this 4th of July.
This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
Arizona News Radio. The Pinal County Sheriff's is a suspect in the murders of missing Maricopa couple. Michael and Tina Correggia has confessed to the crime.
This is a tragic case where both of these individuals, Mike and Tina, were murdered. And we do have the murder weapon, which is a .22 caliber revolver.
Sheriff Paul Babb uses the Correggias had apparently been at 38-year-old Jose Valenzuela's home using meth when an argument broke out and the shots were fired. Valenzuela borrowing a backhoe to bury the bodies in his backyard. DPS officers gearing up to line state roadways looking for distracted, impaired, or dangerous drivers this holiday weekend.
We have increased staffing levels and are doing targeted enforcement in all of our districts, DPS Highway Patrol districts, throughout the state.
Upgrades with DPS is there were 9 fatalities on state highways last 4th of July weekend. D-backs beat the Rockies 8-1. Geico weather, another night of storm activity in many parts of the state. More monsoon activity today. Jeff Scott, Arizona News.
From the KFNX Weatherbug Weather Center, for the rest of the morning, partly cloudy skies, a low near 84. Today, mostly sunny with a high near 108. Tonight, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly cloudy skies, a low near 85. Independence Day, chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly sunny with a high near 106. Saturday night, chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low near 82. I'm Ron Pritchard from the KFNX Weatherbug Weather Center.
Currently here in Midtown, we're at 89 degrees. Next news in 30 minutes or when it breaks.
The risks to your money have never been greater. Don't Bank on It is a hot new book which exposes 20 major risks. Here's the first three shocking risks covered in the book. Under current law, you don't own your bank account. Your deposits are an unsecured asset belonging to the bank. What you own is an IOU. The FDIC only has enough reserves to cover 7% of total deposits. 7%! Today, cyber criminals can instantly steal your savings, identity, and credit. No wonder so many Americans have begun hoarding cash and gold. What more can you do to save your life savings? Call 1-800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 now to request a free copy of Don't Bank on It. At $20 value, free. Don't wait. Do it now. Call 800-519-6271, 1-800-519-6271, or at edwardwoodson.com.
He's still so mad. Now, back to your host, Edward Woodson.
Well, the New York Times has published its own ode to Independence Day, a declaration of surrender to Islamic terror, while freely offending a billion Catholics who don't shoot journalists for publishing offensive art. They were roundly criticized for publishing a portrait of Pope Benedict made entirely of 17,000 colored, non-lubricated condoms, after refusing to publish the cartoon from the cover of Charlie Hebdo last January. So let me get this straight. The New York Times refuses to publish the cartoon, which looked more like something from Mad Magazine, than portrait of Pope Benedict made up of 17,000 condoms. Because clearly that's not offensive to Catholics, right? Times Standards editor, a guy by the name of Philip Corbett, wrote about it in a futile attempt to justify the obvious double standard. You see, this is why people don't trust the media, and especially the New York Times. Here's what he wrote. I don't think these situations, the Milwaukee artwork and the various Muhammad caricatures, are really equivalent. For one thing, many people might disagree, but museum officials clearly consider that Johnson's piece to be a significant artwork. Also, there's no indication that the primary intent of the portrait is to offend or blaspheme. The artist and the museum both say it is not intended to offend people, but to raise a social question about the fight against AIDS. And finally, the very different reactions bear this out. Hundreds of thousands of people protested worldwide, for instance, after the Danish cartoons were published some years ago. While some people might genuinely dislike this Milwaukee work, there doesn't seem to be any comparable level of outrage. Yeah, because Catholics don't run out and kill people, okay? John Sexton at Breitbart wrote a piece about the illogical approach to the Times decision and the clear double standard. And here's what John Sexton from Breitbart wrote. You really have to think this through a bit. Corbett is not saying that the heckler's veto works because the New York Times is afraid to make itself the next target. That would be cowardly, but at least it would be honest. Instead, he is saying the fact that no one has died over the Pope condom art proves the Times was right to publish it. And so, conversely, the fact that the Charlie Hebdo staff was massacred by outraged Islamists seeking to avenge their prophet's honor proves the Times was right to not run the Muhammad cartoons. What kind of logic is that? I mean, think about it. So they will print this photo of Pope Benedict with condoms that clearly is offensive to people that are Catholic. But And let's not forget other offensive pieces like Piss Christ and the Virgin Mary dung piece. Now, that's not a problem. That's not a problem. They'll publish that. They'll publish pictures of that. But this rudimentary cartoon, and basically what the Times is saying is that, well, you know, because Catholics don't run out killing people. So that's why we're not going to publish it. I mean, that's why we're publishing it. Because Catholics, they're not known to carry around AK-47s blowing you away. But jihadists will. So therefore, that's why we're not going to publish it. Oh, you can't make this stuff up. This is the New York Times. Okay? Need I say more? Kim Kardashian says that selfies can be empowering. She's now a feminist. Yeah. She was invited to the Commonwealth Club. It's a 112-year-old club that describes itself as the nation's oldest and largest public affairs program to talk about. She talked about her famous family, the business of millennial culture, and the objectification of women in the media. That's what she actually talked about. So one of the panelists asked, how do you explain your popularity? And she said, I really do love social media. I credit it to a lot of my career. My career is based on openness, and honesty. And she went on to say, maybe it's the bikini selfies. I think I definitely overshare, but I'm really engaged. She said, there's this generation of young people, girls, who are beautiful but don't have a strong work ethic. I.e. her. People sometimes think that with looks, things will be easy, but I just encourage people to put in the work. What work has she done? What has she done? What's Kim Kardashian done? She's famous for what? That sex tape with Ray J. Okay, that's what got her famous. So when she talked about the one of the questions was asked about whether women are objectified and whether they're viewed as sexual objects. And do the selfies that Kardashian posts objectify her? She was asked that question. Of course, that's a, you know, that's a tough question there. She says, yes, but I don't think it's a bad thing. I think there's power in that, and I think I have the control to put out what I want. So even if I'm objectifying myself, I feel good about it. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Kim Kardashian, who has now set back feminism 100 years, she is the very definition of objectification for women. And all that she does is she's obsessed with selfies. And posting selfies constantly. She's posted thousands of pictures of herself. And the selfie, and I got to tell you, the selfie is the perfect metaphor for the times we live in. I mean, is there anything more ego-driven than taking a picture of oneself and posting it? I mean, I can think of nothing more. And you see this happening all over the place. Everywhere you go, you see people taking pictures of themselves and posting them. I mean, how is that empowering, taking a picture of oneself? Really? Kim Kardashian? Are you kidding me? She is the queen of objectification. But somehow, I mean, that is empowering. How is that empowering to take a picture of oneself? Again, we live in bizarro world. We really do. We're in complete denial, and we're in bizarro world. That's the best way to explain it, because that's what's going on here. Kim Kardashian invited to speak about feminism. I mean, it really is just amazing. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it besides the fact that it's ridiculous for Kim Kardashian to be talking about feminism and that taking selfies is somehow empowering for women. If you've got a business and you want to get results, advertise on the Edward Woodson Show. If you like the show and you want to reach like-minded people, advertise on the Edward Woodson Show. Radio is the way to go. So call me at 305-528-3552. That's 305-528-3552. Get results. Advertise on the Edward Woodson Show. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
Say what. Bloomberg reports cash under the mattress is now considered safer than inside a bank. That's right. On November 20th, G20 leaders, including President Obama, voted to enact new banking laws replacing taxpayer bailouts with what's called bank bail-ins. Sounds good, right? Wrong. The fine print of this new bail-in legal doctrine states that your money deposited in bank savings, CDs, or money market funds can be confiscated or converted into bank shares of uncertain value. Oh yeah, I've been warning you about this risk all year on my show. The authors of Don't Bank on It just released a new white paper entitled After the G20. It's free by calling 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271. Discover why your dollars in banks just became dollars at risk. Call 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 or at edwardwoodson.com.
Central Dental Care, longtime 1100 supporter, is giving a special for new patients. Get a regular cleaning, x-rays, a whole mouth exam, and new you 30-minute teeth whitening for only $95, regularly $750. Serving Arizona for 13 years, Central Dental Care provides experienced, top-rated dentistry. Call 602-903-5935 to give yourself or someone you know a brighter smile. 602-903-5935 or visit centraldentalcare.com.
Camelback Toyota, located conveniently on 16th Street in Camelback, off the 51 freeway, easy to get to right here in the city. You work downtown, stop on your way home, take a look at some beautiful new cars, used cars. Derek and John O'Malley Jr. and my mechanics in the back, Abe and Jerob and Tom, my man Jake, Felix, John Wicks is there, Levi. They are trained and trained heavily. They know everything backwards and forwards on any Toyota. Customer satisfaction numero uno at Camelback Toyota.
He's still so mad. Now back to your host, Edward Woodson.
As Independence Day approaches, most in the U.S. say they are proud to be an American. New Gallup poll shows that a slight majority, 54% there, said they're extremely proud. The percentage saying they are extremely proud is slightly lower than in recent years and down from the peaks at and around 70% between 2002 2004. Obviously, that was after 9/11. In addition to the 54% who are extremely proud to be American, 27% say they are very proud, 14% say they are moderately proud, and 4% only a little proud. And 1% state they are not proud at all. Well, why are they here then, if they're not proud? This data is from a June 2nd to June 7th poll. Gallup asked this question regularly since 2001. The highest percentage saying they were extremely proud to be American came in 2003, in the months after the Iraq War began, and not long after 9/11, when American patriotism surged. Older Americans, Southerners, and Republicans lead in the extreme pride. They are extremely prideful to be Americans. 68% of Republicans say they are extremely proud to be an American, much higher than the 47% of Democrats who say the same. As usual, independents are in the middle at 53%. Why is it that Democrats aren't proud to be American? I never understand that. You know, you're American, you should be proud of being an American. That's kind of the whole point of, I always think, why are you here if you don't like America? So, this is an oldie but a goodie. Yours truly went out to the streets of Miami to ask people if they know what Independence Day is. So, listen up. Okay, wait a minute. I got this on YouTube, and of course, got this ad there. But, wait a minute. Okay.
We just are interviewing people, and we want to ask them if they know the meaning of July 4th and why we celebrate July 4th.
Right. Well, I'm aware of it. I'm 65 years old, so I've celebrated several of them. It's the celebration of the birth of our nation, our separation from Great Britain, England, and basically the start of our country, built on freedom.
I don't know.
You don't know?
No. She just graduated from high school. Ask her. From the Army? No, that's not for the Army. No, it's not. That's Labor Day. I don't know.
Labor Day. So you don't know why we celebrate?
I do not know why we celebrate 4th of July.
I don't really subscribe to it. I don't subscribe to the government.
Independence Day, is that July 4th? Now you got me.
Independence Day, of course. Independence from?
Independence from, let's say, our England. Yeah, independence from England.
From England. Great Britain.
The British.
Britain.
England.
Great Britain. The Britons.
From England, I think.
What country?
Uh-huh.
America?
No.
Slavery? No. Wait. Just having independence, I guess? Right?
No, it was actually from England.
I knew that. Same thing.
From poverty and war and that kind of thing.
Oh, God. That's just bad. Independence from the war.
From the war?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Isn't it independence from France?
No, no France.
I'm gonna go with Russia.
Is England or France? I want to say France. England?
Very good. Do you know what year that happened?
Oh, my goodness, no. No.
No, I do not.
I think it's
1890. I don't remember.
Well, I've forgotten about the year. It was like on top of my head, but I've forgotten.
thing, 1870-something.
I don't know what to say the wrong thing.
Yeah, there is no wrong answer.
The 1900s?
Yeah.
19-something. 1950, 1960?
Yeah, in the time frame?
19... I'm not completely sure. I think 19...
Nine?
No, 1918? I don't know. I'm not completely sure.
112 years ago?
1874?
Oh, 1772, is it?
This is so embarrassing. Oh.
1776?
1776. The Declaration of Independence was signed.
1776?
history
is not my strong
1918, point. Definitely not. 1870-something.
1776.
I ain't born yet.
July 4th. No, you were not born yet. That would make you like a vampire.
I ain't born yet.
No, you were not born yet.
Those are random people. Americans that have no idea why we celebrate July 4th. They have no clue. None. Zero. All right, we're out of time for the day. But I want to tell everybody to have a very safe and happy 4th of July. And remember exactly why we're celebrating the independence of America from Britain. And if you want to listen to the show or other shows, go to WoodsonArchive.com. Also, follow me on Facebook at Ed Woodson Show. It is an honor and a privilege to be with you every day to give you your fair share of the truth because you're entitled to it. Good day, America. I'm out.
Thank you for tuning in to the Edward Woodson Show.
That makes you go,
Look, you hear about it every day from Republicans and Democrats and everyone else who wants to tell you all the reasons why they're right and everyone else is wrong. If you've had enough, you're not alone. You deserve a show that offers unbiased truth and unfiltered debate. So tune in to Raging Sanity Radio with Will Hubbard and Alan Harvey, Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
Hello, this is Joe Cordell of Cordell & Cordell. Here are a few quick divorce tips we provide our clients. Complete the financial forms you file with the court as if they're the most important final exam you will ever take. These forms state your property, your debts, your income, and expenses. They become the battlefields where your most important disputes are fought or settled. Property division, maintenance, child support, attorney fees, even custody is impacted. Fortunately, this is an open book exam. You can even get help from your attorney. But let me warn you, whether too busy or too jaded, attorneys often fail to demand or give these forms the attention their clients deserve. So it may be up to you. By the way, unless you're in Missouri or Illinois, I'm not licensed in your state, but that's okay. Our attorneys in your state are.
Call Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Arizona attorneys. A partner men can count on. 602-995-6666. 7150 East Camelback Road, Suite 444, Scottsdale, Arizona, 85251.
Skytech Security and Automation, can I help you?
Yes. Your website, freealarmequipment.com, says I can update my home and business burglar alarm system equipment for free. And it's a brand new cellular technology with smartphone and tablet access. Is this true?
Yes, it is. Freealarmequipment.com is giving away home and business alarm systems valued at $1,295 for free.
Okay, that sounds great, but what's the catch?
As long as you use our 5-diamond monitoring of burglar, fire, and medical assistance services for only $49.99 per month, the equipment, activation, and installation is absolutely free.
Wow, only $49.99 a month for all that? My neighbor doesn't have a system. Can he get one?
Absolutely. We'll give him free equipment, and all he has to do is pay the monthly monitoring. So upgrade your home alarm equipment today. Go to freealarmequipment.com. Or call 602-621-2146. That's 602-621.
From the realms of astronomy, space, aviation,
weather. This is the Dr. Sky Report.
I'm Dr. Sky with a Dr. Sky Minute from the realm of astronomy, the mystery of dark energy. Physicists now tell us that about 72% of the entire universe is made up of dark energy, and really nobody knows what it is. Let's go back to Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein once